And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The 70-year-old legal requirement for schools to include an act of collective worship in assembly should be dropped because of the decline of Christianity in Britain, the Church of England's head of education has said. The Bishop of Oxford, the Right Reverend John Pritchard, said schools should still have to make time for spiritual reflection containing elements of Christianity and the other major religions. But he said compulsory participation in collective worship was more suited to the 1940s, could actively put people off religion, and is meaningless to people who do not believe. Under the 1944 Education Act, schools are legally obliged to stage acts of collective worship, wholly or mainly of a broadly Christian character. There are separate arrangements for Muslim, Jewish, Hindu and Sikh faith schools. Last week, the National Governors Association, which represents more than 300,000 school governors across England, called for the rule to be abolished for all non-religious schools. It said that the law is already being widely ignored because of a lack of space or availability of staff willing or able to lead worship. Bishop Pritchard, who is chair of the Church of England's Board of Education, is responsible for the teaching of around 1 million children in Anglican schools, as well as speaking with the Church on education in the Lords, said a change in the law could be liberating for schools and churches alike. I think in the 1940s, when all of this was put together, it was possible to say that collective worship represented the mood of the nation, but I don't think that is where we are now, he said. There is a sense in which a compulsion about religion does a disservice to that which I think is most important, which is keeping the good news of the Christian faith alive in our culture. He said, the assembly is currently the only opportunity for many pupils and teachers to pause and reflect in the day, something he said should be actively encouraged, but he said it was already beginning to drift in many schools. Allowing them to offer a more broad form of daily reflection, for example using silence, storytelling or music, would take the pressure off, he added. I think in due course there needs to be a legislative response, but not until there's been full discussion in the Department for Education and the educational world generally. At that point where society and government feel it is right, I would want to go ahead with some kind of change which I think would be liberating for this very important time in the school day, which I suppose has got trapped in the idea of collective worship, and I would want to release it into spiritual reflection. He explained, worship is by definition a voluntary activity. If we had time of spiritual reflection which drew largely on Christian values and the great faith traditions, then I think we would be on much safer ground. Bishop Pritchard, who comes from the evangelical wing of the church, has spoken in the past of using the Church of England schools as a tool to promote Christianity to pupils and their families. The rabbi Dr. Jonathan Romaine, chairman of the coalition which opposes faith schools, agreed compulsory worship in schools can be counterproductive. Assemblies have a vital educational role. At the best, they can bring a school together in celebration of common values and can assist pupils in exploring questions of purpose, value and meaning, he said. However, at their worst, they can enforce worship on children who either do not hold religious beliefs or who adhere to a different faith. Moreover, the level of discomfort that many headteachers have with obligatory worship results in many schools not having an assembly at all, which both flouts the law and misses an opportunity for an inspirational assembly on shared values. But Greg Pope, Deputy Director of the Catholic Education Service, said, "We are not convinced that there needs to be a change in the law. The current guidance is flexible enough to meet the needs of each school's community while respecting Christian traditions." We welcome the Bishop of Oxford's comments as an area for further reflection. Father Ndaliwal, Head of Public Affairs at the British Humanist Association, added, "In a plural and fair-minded society that cares about children and their development, schools should be holding inclusive assemblies that forward the spiritual, moral, social and cultural development of all pupils and staff, regardless of their religious or non-religious beliefs." Iraq's Christian leaders called on the European Union on Wednesday to help the country avoid a civil war threatening the future of their very fragile minority. Europeans have a moral duty vis-à-vis Iraq, said the country's most senior Christian leader, Chaldean Patriarch Louis Seiko, who flew into Brussels to meet EU officials, including the bloc's council president, Herman Van Rompuy. Seiko told a news conference he was extremely anxious about the fate of Christians who are continuing to flee areas held by jihadist militants in the north, although so far they have not been targeted as a group. Archbishop Johanna Petrus Mosul said the city had all been emptied of Christians and both Chaldean and Syrian Orthodox churches occupied by insurgents. Some 35,000 Christians lived in Mosul in 2003 before the US intervention, but the numbers have been on the decline ever since. Iraq's Christian community is a shadow of what it used to be, once more than a million nationwide, with upwards of 600,000 in Baghdad alone. There are now fewer than 400,000 across the country. Many of those left still lived in Nineveh province, of which Mosul is the capital. We are a very fragile minority, as we have no army, no militia, Sarko said. He appealed last weekend in Kirkuk for the release of two nuns and three orphans who have been missing for several days in militant-held areas of northern Nineveh province. Anti-mafia police launched an investigation on Monday after a religious procession in a southern Italian town detoured to pay tribute to a local mobster in apparent defiance of Pope Francis. The procession in Oppido Mamertina, a Calabrian town considered a stronghold of the 'Ndrangheta crime syndicate, on Wednesday changed course to visit where mob boss Giuseppe Mazzagatti is being held under house arrest. Those carrying a statue of the Madonna bent down to make the effigy bow to the building, Italian media reported. The Argentine pontiff visited Calabria last month, where he launched a scathing attack on the mafia for its adoration of evil and excommunicated its members from the Catholic Church. Police said on Monday they were investigating possible collusion between the leaders of the procession and Mazzagatti, 82, who is serving a life sentence under house arrest for health reasons. Prosecutors are looking at video footage taken by local police during the procession. Whoever made the Madonna bow has committed a double sin, Nunzio Galantino, head of the Italian Episcopal Conference, told the Italian newspapers. It twisted the sense of the procession, he said. It's absurd. The Madonna can bow to poverty, to those in need, in front of a sincere conversion, but not in subjugation to a delinquent. The pastor of a Christian church in central China was sentenced to 12 years in prison in what supporters say is a crackdown aimed at curbing fast-growing religious activity, his lawyer said. Zhang Xiaoji of the Nanli County Christian Church in Henan Province was convicted of fraud and of gathering crowds to disturb public order, according to his lawyer Yang Xingguang. Zhang's church is sanctioned by the communist government, which allows worship only in state-monitored groups, but has been involved in a dispute with local authorities over land for a new building. By official estimates, China has 23 million Christians. The country also has a large number of unsanctioned underground or home churches that have attracted millions of worshippers and have been targeted in repeated crackdowns. A report by the Washington, D.C.-based Pew Research Center said there were likely 67 million Christians in the country in 2010, including 58 million Protestants and 9 million Catholics. The ruling party is wary of religion as a possible rallying point to challenge its rule, and uneasy about the rapid spread of Christianity 3 decades after Beijing loosened social controls in pursuit of economic development. In the eastern Zhejiang province, where Christianity has been particularly popular, local governments have been tearing down crosses on Christian churches, even if they've been officially sanctioned, on the grounds that they lack construction permits. The crackdown on Christian churches could be an extension of an ongoing campaign to suppress the growth of civil society in the country, said Professor Feng Yang, a sociologist and expert on religion in China at Purdue University. The churches might have become a target because Chinese Christians, perhaps emboldened by the growth in the number of followers around them, are more likely to assert their right, Yang said. In China, Christianity or Protestantism is different from other religions somehow. One that is that local congregations, they gather together regularly, showing support for each other spiritually, but that could spill over into social action, Yang said. The increasing numbers of Christians, perhaps, gives Christians more confidence to resist human rights violations and civil rights violations. I think size does matter. Zhang was detained last year after the land dispute, but the lawyer said he was targeted due to his popularity in a region that has seen rapid growth in the number of Christians. In the eyes of the authorities, Christianity is growing too fast there, and Pastor Zhang was too influential, Yang said. Zhang was convicted of instigating years-old disputes involving his congregation members, even though the disputes with the dentist and the insurance business and the family planning office were long dismissed, Yang said. The pastor also was being accused of swindling money, but prosecutors failed to produce a key witness to testify, Yang said. Bob Fu, president of the US-based Christian rights group China Aid, said the verdict against Zhang was totally unacceptable. This case shows the Chinese government continues to cover up religious persecution with fabricated criminal charges against an innocent church leader, Fu said in an emailed statement. Pope Francis said the suicides of the sex abuse victims weighed on his conscience on Monday, speaking of the terrible darkness inside the church as he met with survivors and pledged to crack down on paedophilia. At his long-awaited first meeting with victims, the Pope reached out to the tens of thousands of people abused by priests globally, telling them he was sorry for the grave crimes of clerical sexual abuse committed against you. Three male and three female victims from Britain, Germany and Ireland slept in the Pope's residence near St. Peter's Basilica before breakfast with him and spending half an hour each with him. Francis said there was no place in the church's ministry for those who commit these abuses, adding, "I commit myself not to tolerate harm done to a minor by any individual, whether a cleric or not." In a moving speech written in his native Spanish, the 77-year-old spoke of the toxic effect of the abuse scandal, which he admitted had ruined many lives. "I look at you and I ask for the grace to weep, the grace for the church to weep and make reparation for her sons and daughters who betrayed their mission, who abused innocent persons," he said. He said these wounds are a source of deep and often unrelenting emotional and spiritual pain and even despair, and that the psychological pain caused by abuse meant that some had to face the terrible tragedy of the death of a loved one by suicide. "The deaths of these beloved children of God weigh upon the heart and my conscience and that of the whole church," the 77-year-old said. The victims, who also dined in the Casa Santa Marta Vatican guest house where the Pope lives on Sunday night, were not identified to the press. The private meetings came amid criticism that Francis had been slow to deal with a scandal hugely damaging to the Catholic Church, and it was hoped they would open a constructive path towards healing the wounds of victims, Vatican spokesman Federico Lombardi said. And finally, an elderly motorist has had his driving license revoked after it emerged that he could only read a number plate from 1 meter, 39 inches away. The 79-year-old's Mitsubishi Shogun 4x4 was in a crash with a parked lorry on the A26 Eridge Road near Crowborough, East Sussex last month. After escaping with minor injuries, Sussex police said the pensioner underwent an eyesight test and left officers shocked by his inability to read a number plate at a distance.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.